6:02 PM if you're in the community recreation center for our work session. The first item on our work session today is a presentation from the Alpine School District Administration. So I will turn the time over to them.
Evening, I get to be first. So for those who don't know me, I'm Amber Bonner. I live here in Cedar Hills, and I am the board member over the Lone Peak cluster. So I have Cedar Ridge, Deerfield, Lone Peak, Mountain Ridge, and all the high schools. So glad to be here. So I think what I wanted to do a little bit is just kind of introduce you to our board members. You probably Okay, we have 7 board members. State law allows us to have between 5 and 7 board members. So Dr. Mark Clement is the current board member over the Pleasant Grove area. He is a computer science professor at BYU. Sarah Hacken is on the east side of Orem, so she does the Orem and Tippecanoe cluster. Sarah is a former Alpine District teacher who was instrumental in starting our Gifted and Talented program in the district. Sarah Eason in yellow is our American Fork cluster representative. Her husband Sam is a teacher at American Fork High School, and Sarah has been very heavily involved in the American Fork Marching Band program. Scott Carlson is our board president. He represents the Lehigh area, including Lehigh and Sky Ridge High Schools. Scott is something. I'm an engineer. So he's been great. His construction experience and knowledge has been very helpful for us in the district. Ada Wilson is the representative on the west side of Orem, which includes Vineyard and the Mountain View High School cluster. She's doing an awesome job there, and that is Linda Tweed. And Julie King is the board member over the Westlake and Cedar Valley High School clusters. So with the growth out west, our board member boundaries are done with the census every 10 years, and so she has the growth out there, the big area cluster. So that's I think we have a really great board right now, and partially that is because we all bring really different and unique things to the board. It's been a real privilege to work with them. So I know that all of our board members have at their forefront of their mind all the time what's going on with the children in our areas and how we can best serve their needs. Gonna go back one. So with me today, I have Rod Smith, who is our assistant superintendent over business services. So he takes care of the money for us, for which we are eternally grateful. And then also, over here on my left is Dr. Shane Farnsworth. Shane is our assistant superintendent over operations. So he keeps all the buildings running and all the buses moving and all the things. He does all the things. So we appreciate both of them also. Currently, we have a lot of projects going on in the district. This picture right here is actually the new elementary school we're building in Vineyard right now. It will be open next fall. We also have a middle school. You may have seen the construction right on the west side of the Micron, former Micron building. I guess it's Micron again now, isn't it? So that is a middle school that will be also opening next fall, and then we are also building another elementary school in South Sarasota. And we have Scott Sumner, who is the principal of Lone Peak High School, coming straight from celebrating the golf team beating Davis. Correct. Okay. Way to go, golf team.
All but Cedar Hills. Cedar Hills is their home course.
It is. True. Yes. This is our district. You can see we go from Orem clear out to Cedar Fort. We cover 14 municipalities, and we have 90 how many schools? 71?
Over 90.
And you can see on this map, the blue schools are elementary schools, the green schools are middle schools, and then the red ones are the high schools. So it's kind of a fun thing. It takes a really long time to drive out to Cedar Fort, just so you know. I forget. Rob, what else am I supposed to talk
about? Whatever you want.
Whatever you want. This has been a fun position for me. I am really grateful for all the great people we have at Alpine District. Our teachers have just been working their tails off this year, and all of our administrators have too. I'm sure, as you know, the COVID pandemic has been entertaining, I guess, for us. We've had a lot of curveballs thrown at us this year, but I feel like things are going really well. Our elementary schools in particular are doing very, very well. With case counts, the children have been phenomenal at wearing their masks and hand washing and all of that. They've done very, very well. And at our high schools, they're trying. They're maybe a little more social than we want them to be right in this moment, right, Scott? He's smiling under that mask. He might be a little between a smile and a grimace, but it's good. And they're doing well. So, I think that's. I can't remember what else I was talking about, so we're all covered. Oh, that's right. So some of you may have met our superintendent, Sam Jarman. He announced his retirement effective the end of this school year. So we've had a lot of questions about that. There's a state law that indicates that a lame duck member of the school board cannot participate in choosing a new superintendent. And we have three school board members, Mark and Scott and Sarah Haggett, that are up for re-election this fall. So as a board, we decided that we would get that process done before the election because it's important to us that the new superintendent choice be able to weigh in on administrative assignment changes that will be happening in the spring. Those start pretty early, like January, February. So we decided we wanted to get that ball rolling before then so the new superintendent would have some say in maybe where some of those changes are. It also, if it ends up being someone who's an internal candidate, it causes kind of a domino effect, and so we want that to all be decided. So we're working on that now. We anticipate announcing a new superintendent by the end of October. We went over the applications yesterday. We have some really phenomenal candidates. We're excited about this process. So do you have any questions for me before I turn time over to Rob?
I don't have any questions, but I did want to say I'm sure that everybody else here already knows that Amber is amazing. But this year in particular, it's been a hard year for schools in particular, with, like you said, COVID and all of these years in it. And I just watch you over and over, go above and beyond, trying to make sure that everybody who we represent is informed, and questions are being answered. You're engaging almost instantly after you're out of the board meeting, no matter how late it is. And I know that this has been a rough year with the state law, but I've been really impressed with your willingness to communicate, to ask questions, to get back to people, and to do what feels best for our area. So we really appreciate all of your hard work and your representation on the board. Thanks, so we appreciate that. Okay, well, Rob, you're up.
Mary, you did say that because I was going to talk about our board. And Amber is truly committed and dedicated. They worked so hard. Last night there were meetings till after 9 o'clock. She was out in Saratoga Springs in a meeting with me first thing this morning and the superintendent. And these part-time elected officials are anything but part-time. They're fully invested to support you, your families, and our kids, which is our future. So I'm very happy to be able to work. A couple of things I wanted to hit on my section. Teachers. We hire a lot of teachers in Alpine School District. And people say, why do you hire so many teachers? Well, the majority of our teachers are women. About 73% of all of our classroom teachers are women. And when you look at, we live right, and we're blessed to have BYU and Utah Valley University right here. We have a lot of young teachers. Because they're women, sometimes they'll have families very early on, or they'll move with the spouse who gets a job. And so that dynamic is, I think, a very great dynamic for us, but it does mean we're in the training business a lot. And Kelly can talk a lot about that as one of our former teachers. But this year, 534 new teachers hired. It's interesting to note that the number one priority of our board is to recruit and retain the very best. If we care about student outcomes, we care about learning at the highest levels, we need the very best connectors, motivators, facilitators, encouragers, counselors, and all of the many roles that our teachers play. And Alpine is blessed to have some of the finest educators that I know of. And this is the third school district that I've been privileged to work for. Been around a little bit. Served at some national conferences and in other states, been able to go back and consult and work with. And we have some of the finest communities that strive for excellence and help our kids. So we're working on that. We've got a few things we're going to be doing and announcing this next year. And we're excited for what we're doing for our teachers. This is our Return to Learn page on our website. A ton of things. This is our first pandemic that we're responding to. And so we're building this plane while we're flying the plane, while we have people jumping out of the plane, and some people even want to come back on the plane while we're flying. So amazing people working a ton to support, but we are learning, which means there are opportunities for improvement. And we have had changes, and you're going to see more. One of the things I wanted to note, we did have a variety of options. Parents, we're going to meet you where you are. Where's your comfort level? Anything from online to hybrid options or to face-to-face. Data shows, and we know, that the best way for a young person to learn is face-to-face connecting with that teacher that's going to see the highest results and outcomes for kids. But we also know that there's a lot of concerns, and so we wanted to give options. And our plan was one that was unique, and that we did give a variety of options. Secondary, similar options you see here, but our focus is parents, how can we support you in your role and help your students learn? We want to keep them safe, we want to keep our teachers safe, but our business is about education and helping students learn and grow. This is something, I'm going to jump out of the presentation just for a sec. On our website, this is one of the changes. That snapshot that I had in the presentation was from several days ago. Well, based on feedback, this has changed. This is our dashboard. And we actually have school by school information. At the top, you have the total number of students and employees in Alpine School District, just under 90,000. We have just under 81,000 students and about 8,000 employees. Okay, so that's the composition of that just under 90,000. Currently, and this was updated today, the active case counts in the 10-day window. So if you tested positive and you're in that 10-day active window, that's the data that you see up above. And you'll note, there's a narrative that said the totals above are based on the required 10-day isolation for those students and employees that are in that active window. Down below, you count the 14 days that the county and the state report, so that data below is consistent with our health departments and how they are reporting the data. The top bar is just the active cases. When you look at that, 187 over nearly 90,000, 0.21, it's actually pretty good. One of the other things we did is we got some feedback. Again, our board members, they received that from you, from their constituents, our customers, and we wanted to provide some additional data, but yet still protect the privacy of individuals. And so we think this balance protecting privacy, yet informing parents that they can make good decisions, and teachers make good decisions about the particular COVID situation in schools. Elementary, no surprise, if you look at the research, a lot of cases, most of our elementary schools are green. There's a couple that are yellow, so they're in that 4 to 8, I'd say, span. We don't have any elementaries that are in the orange bands, 9 to 14, and none in that 15 plus. Middle schools, you can see one in the 9 to 14 bands, several in the 4 to 8, which is where most of our middle schools are. And then we have our high schools, where we have four schools that are on a modified schedule. Lone Peak is on a modified schedule. Again, their case counts here. With that, I'm going to jump back to the presentation. Any questions on this and how this is sharing information and feedback for us on that piece? Is that helpful?
Great.
All right. Jump back here. And I'm going to hand off to Dr. Barnes for comparison facilities.
Thank you, Rob.
That's my kid's school.
For allowing us to be
slides I wanna cover. This one is Central Elementary in Pleasant Grove. Some of you may be familiar with the Space Center. Taking your kid there and participated in a mission. The program has continued to progress and become better and better. The facility kind of has stayed neutral. So we are in the process of redoing Central Elementary. It has been rebuilt, it's opened up. The Space Center, which is to the south of that property, we are finishing up that the next couple of weeks and hope to open that up in the middle of November. We are really excited about that. Ron has done a great job working with our foundation to secure donations for that. And I think it will be unlike any other facility in the nation. In terms of having a planetarium, having those simulators at an elementary school where students from all across the district, families can go and participate in those team building activities. So we're really excited about that. This just shows your enrollment trends in why did I have them on here? These are not in the school. I think they have cut based on the other presentation. I forgot to put Cedar Hills in there, so I apologize for that. Cedar Ridge Elementary is down about 78. Deerfield is down about 38. Mount Ridge down about 34. Long Peak up about 13. Some of this enrollment trend is due to COVID. Entrants deciding to homeschool, but we do overall in our 5-year projection show a decline in this area. Your population of school-aged children is beginning to change a little bit. We see a decline in the elementary, have seen that for a couple of years, it's starting to affect the middle school, and then eventually will affect the high school. We anticipate, we redo those every year, do a new projection, and we anticipate that Mountain Ridge dropping by about 240 students from 2019 to 2024. And Deerfield Elementary will drop by about 140. Cedar Ridge Elementary will decline by about 107. Long Peak High School is anticipated to drop by about 113. So we'll see a little bit of enrollment change. We'll continue to adjust those year to year. Some of that this year is a little bit exaggerated because of the pandemic.
So are those numbers taking into account the new development that's going in south of Long Peak?
Yes, it will in our projections as we get through the city and anticipate home sizes, the style of home, the sale price of that home. We have an algorithm that predicts how many students per home based upon that home size and value.
The current homes that have been approved in Highland that'll straddle the road south of there, those are almost all in Deerfield's boundaries?
Right.
And we'll have to at some point, right now the boundary just goes straight across. At some point we'll have to draw a boundary between the two schools. But it's awesome that they're starting with Deerfield because Deerfield has room.
Right.
So it's great.
Okay. And we can adjust the American Fork Elementary boundaries as we have defining enrollment there as well. We want to keep a good, robust number of students there to provide full programs for all. Again, I apologize for the slide cut and paste. I need to change the city on this. These are capital projects that have been done over the last 5 years in your schools. Cedar Ridge, about $250,000 has been spent there on security efforts, recarpeting, and rebuilding the intercom system. Deerfield had some security enhancements, some roofing. Mount Ridge, we recently re-roofed. We did the tennis courts. We carpeted the whole facility and added security cameras, secure access from entrance, other measures there. And then Long Peak High School, the majority of that $11 million went to the Scott Sumner Memorial Garden. High school just has a bigger footprint. A lot of efforts have gone into re-roofing of a high school. It cost about $5 million. And that school is, I don't think people realize it's about 25 years old. And so the team has re-roofed that. We have recently added a new turf field. There we got the turf field that is there, the main field and the auxiliary field. We've added significant parking to that area as well. So those are just investments by the district, by taxpayer dollars into schools that your students, your patrons feed into. And then we anticipate the schools are in fairly good shape in this area. None of them are aging to the point where we would consider a rebuild. So we'll just continue to renovate and upgrade them as we have resources to do so. questions?
I just have one question. So a lot of our city goes to American Fork High School too. Like my whole neighborhood goes to American Fork High School. And they did a huge renovation in American Fork recently. Hopefully that's going to be, won't need any more carriers going through down there. But I was curious about American Fork enrollment.
They are holding steady. Fairly consistent. Some of the elementaries, we see some declining enrollment in Barrett Elementary, Ford Elementary. The junior high, four junior high is staying right around 2,000. It will drop by about 50 or 60 students over the next several years. So I think in a, and depending what happens south of I-15 and those developments and what kind of families move in there and the age of their children, you'll eventually see an aging out of American Fork, but it's holding on to those numbers longer than we anticipated. Just like at Lone Peak High School, it held on to their enrollment at that level longer than we anticipated. American Fork High School, I think, is number 4 or 5 on our priority rebuild list. And so in a future bond, that would be considered for the rest of that rebuild. Pleasant Grove High School, American Fork High School, and Lehigh High School all opened up at the same time. They're 50 plus years old. Lehigh High School is being completely rebuilt now. We're finishing up the last stages of that this year. American Fork, part of that has been rebuilt. Part of Pleasant Grove has been rebuilt, but we need to do the rest of those in upcoming bond projects.
Well, thank you, Shane. Current AF numbers, 2,443 students. It's so interesting, they're up nearly 100 students from what we projected them to be, which is a little interesting. That's a little different trend. We also saw Lone Peak a little higher. We have experienced students moving from other states into our communities. We've seen some of that. But our high schools specifically are up almost 300 students, where our elementaries, our middle schools down nearly 300 as a district in total, and our elementaries are down almost 1,800 students. Part of that's due to homeschool. Parents often feel more comfortable educating younger children once they get into calculus and physics and chemistry. That homeschooling option becomes more challenging for parents. And so I think that's one of the things we've seen. About 1,000 students more than normal are homeschooling this year than we've seen in years past. This next slide, and again, I give this to your great reporter. She's got a copy of it, she can get available to the council. We're also taking snapshots and pulling data points that the community may want to know more information about. This is just one example. On the business team, whether it's a AAA bond rating or whether it's the percentage of your dollars that you spend in the classroom, we want people to have nuggets to be informed about what we're doing with their resources. There'll be a similar one coming out in educational services. It'll talk about graduation rates. It'll talk about a variety of academic items. But again, in a snapshot and a quick view, what are we doing? And so that we can hopefully inform and connect with more of our customers. Last thing for us is just, what else can we be doing to support you and your families? What questions do you have, whether it's for Amber or for Shane or I? And I think Scott will share a few things.
Shane had another meeting.
Oh.
I have
to,
so. But will people
give
me
Amber, try Amber, to answer any questions? Is there anything else that we can ask for? Concerns from residents or things that are on your mind?
How long is the hybrid schedule going to continue on doing that?
That is a great question. Scott's probably the best one to answer that. The hybrid is very challenging for families, very challenging for students, very challenging for the administration. But it's an attempt to try to slow the spread. One of the things that we're gathering data on, and I think Amber would probably talk about this. I don't think there's been anything on Facebook that she's posted yet.
He's almost
the
same size as Cup.
No.
Okay, I will just step on the table and keep an opposite side of one
But we have some concerns with even the number of 15 how we've gathered data. I shared some data report this morning. We have over 5,300 students that have been quarantined and only 38 positive cases. So if you do the math on that, it's such a very, very small number. I think there are some things we need to do now that we're informed with data. We can hopefully modify practice. So we're not just focused on controlling the spread of the virus, but we're addressing the academic needs of children and their social and emotional well-being. Maybe also the social and emotional well-being of parents.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of how I'd respond to that. I hope that we stay out of the hybrid options. Again, my earlier comments, the best is face-to-face and face-to-face.
I have to say, as I have a sophomore age daughter, and I really have appreciated that option is available, because there was a period of time last month when she was sick, and eventually she had a COVID test and was negative. But while she was sick, we kept her home because she had a fever and all the things we should keep her home for. And it was nice knowing that she could get online and do her schoolwork. At high school, when my students have missed too much class, it feels like it takes forever to get caught up and to make sure that you're staying on top of things, and providing that option where she could stay engaged and on top of things from home was incredible. It was so I really for her and her mom and dad that didn't have to worry about what was missing assignment that she made up later.
That's great feedback.
I think too, one of the things we're seeing is as students are testing positive and coming to school, Scott, feel free to jump in here. Those positive cases are coming from community spread, they're not coming from school spread. And so if we as community leaders can help people understand that if our community wants our kids in school, as a school, we have to have the help of the community. We can't have the kids wearing masks and sanitize and clean and everything at school and then have them go do whatever they want at home, or they're not going to be in school, because we can't control. And not that we're trying to control families and community members, but if that's our goal as a community is to have these kids in school, we have to have community help to make that happen.
So on that vein, has there been a change then in student cases with the hybrid? Knowing that the community spread is a bigger factor?
Yes, at Pleasant Grove, we saw good success and we implemented a hybrid. The school is now back open and back to the normal schedule. Scott, his comments, may want to talk about home feed.
Yeah.
We did have an incident just a day or two ago where we had 16 cases in one day, if I remember right, from the data. So they're in hybrid, and we review that, work with our partners at Utah County Health. What is the right recommendation? How do we make sure that we balance those three things I talked about, and now the fourth, health and well-being of parents? I think we'll continue to learn on that, and we hope again that we'll go from a hybrid back to face-to-face as soon as possible. Maybe Scott could comment more on that.
You want to comment now, or just in your remarks?
One more question along those lines. You mentioned working with the county health and other people. How much control do they have over the hybrid scheduling, whether it's going to be flexed or not?
Yeah, that's a great question. Who's in control? Who makes the decisions? The Board of Education has the stewardship and responsibility for education decisions. They consult with partners, the Utah County Health Department is our partner. The nurses that are in our schools are employees of Utah County Health. And so we have a very close partnership. But we see it as our board is the elected representatives for our community. They have the stewardship and they rely on that partner to advise and to counsel and work together. That's how I would frame that. Amber, anything I
can
share
different
about the role of the county health department?
You know, I think one of the things that's been really difficult about this situation, I think at all levels, and I'm sure you're dealing with some of this too, is the lack of understanding as to who makes the final call. Does that make sense? So currently, as a school district,
we have the school district, we have the state school board, we have the legislature, we have the governor, we have the county health department, and the state health department that are all weighing in on all of these decisions. And when the governor closed schools in March, obviously he absolutely had the ability to do that. The question I think now is, how long does that continue? Is it still his decision? Is it now the state health department? Is it the local school board? Is it? And that's some gray area that we're dealing with. And sometimes those different groups have different opinions on what should be done. I know for me personally, I am finding the 14-day quarantine for kids that are exposed to be excessive. I had a college student home for Labor Day weekend who then tested positive, and my whole family was in quarantine for 2 weeks, which is super fun, because we've not had enough family time over the last 6 months. So what I found was no one in my family got sick, but for my secondary students, that's a long time to be out of school, a really long time. My elementary students seemed to do really well. It wasn't as problematic for her. But for our secondary students, and we now have students who have been in quarantine more than one time for 14 days. So they get in quarantine, they come back to school, and 2 days later they sit by somebody else who tested positive, and they're back out for 2 more weeks. And we're hearing from a lot of parents that they're really unhappy about that. And so I think we're doing some give and take now with the county health department and the state health department, and how are we going to work this out if our primary goal as a district is to provide education for students. We can't do that when they're in and out and in and out and in and out. So we've got to figure out how to work together to make that happen. And I think our partnership with County Health has been very valuable. They've been great to work with. Our nurses have been absolutely phenomenal. But there's just some give and take a little bit there that I think we're working on. It's great that we now have almost 2 full months of data that we can look at as we're looking forward to, do we continue with the same schedule? Do we continue with the same quarantine format? Do we continue with, or do we look at new things now that we have data that shows us what's actually happening in our buildings?
And do we need any change in the, you know, the timeline for quarantining or any of that stuff? Do we expect that to come through the principals? You know, if they're local to the region, they generally have the ability to communicate to every family. Is that going to be the primary mode? We'll find out, let's say, you change the 14 days to 10, whatever it is.
I think so. The other thing is, when you do have a positive or you have an exposure, County Health will call your family, or the school nurse will call your family, and they will give you the instructions that your family needs at that point. So they are making individual calls for positive tests and for exposures.
Or exposures just ain't going.
So an exposure is, if a student's exposed, then they get an email from the school, and a phone call that comes from our automated system. So in a situation where a student gets exposed, just so we're talking the same language, if a student comes positive, we get it from two different directions. We get it from the health department, where they can give us an email or a phone call saying, hey, are you aware of this student? We can either say yes or no, and most of the time we're like yes, because the parents have been really good about saying, hey, my student's positive, just want to inform you guys. So once we get that positive, we do a tracker system where it shows data test, and then it's 2 days, 48 hours before that, it shows if they were at school and sitting by people. Once we get the positive, we go around and get seating charts from our teachers, and once we get the seating charts, then we go around. If it's a full, if they sit in the middle of the classroom, if that's their preferred seat, they can impact 64 kids because 8 is 64. And so, of course, we haven't had that, but we've had a few that have gotten up there pretty close, and the effect that everybody around them. So if they weren't present, then they don't have to be quarantined. If they are present, then we send a letter home to them. At first, we were making phone calls to individual families, but now it's like 12, 15 kids, but get upwards more than that, you don't have enough staff to make a phone call to take 25 minutes, which is unfortunate, but I like to be a little more personal with people than just sending a call or an email. But that's typically what it is, a phone call or email saying, here's what the information is, and then the parent will email back, and we'll sort through those as they come in.
Great, thank you.
who communicates. We should hopefully see multiple communications. We should see a district-wide communication. I know I've sent to city managers and that communications on different things. Our PR team will send something out. Our school principals send things out. So hopefully you're going to see it a couple of times, and you'll see updates on the website as well.
That'd be great. It just eliminates confusion. And yeah, good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Can I make a comment here?
Please.
First of all, being somebody that has a daughter who's an educator, teachers don't get enough credit in the administration for what they have to deal with on a daily basis, so thank you. Second, dealing with recreation, I just want to say thank you to schools for working with us on facilities with Junior Jazz, because it's going to be brutal this year, and we recognize it, and schools recognize it, but everybody's been great to work with, so thank you, and pass that along, please.
I will, Greg, and you've been great to work with too. One of the things, again, Junior Jazz, it's maybe a little different because we do have our social distancing in our lunchrooms, and we're taking up the entire elementary lunchroom for Junior Jazz. You might have a little bit of additional coordination with set up and take down. You're probably aware of that, but again, we're going to do what we can to support you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Rachel Sumner.
I want to share a few positive things, but I don't take any questions or anything first. I lose track of what I said in previous meetings, but Greg's been amazing to work with. In years past, we've had different arrangements with our golf team, and about a week before the season, I think this is last year, like, hey, we're supposed to practice because we had contacts with this, that, and the other, and we're just like, oh my goodness, we haven't arranged this new coach, we kind of fell through the cracks, so we made a call to Greg, and he just saw it. You know, this wasn't like, hey, here's, we can't do all this, it's like, well, let's see what we can do. And I have appreciated that more than we've shared with Greg, so thank you. Greg and I go way back to the world, I think I'm a few years older than you, but I'm friends with his sister.
You're younger.
Am I younger?
You are younger. I'm an old man.
We'll say I'm older. Anyway, but just appreciate him and his family. Quick story, his nephews play baseball, and I was in a parking lot one night, and I don't know if your sister told you this. I'm sure she had to. I've got about five embarrassing moments in my life, and this is one of them. I'm gaining them as we go. You don't see in the parking lot, it's Lehigh, it was dark, and I decided to pull forward into a cement curb. So I centered my car. And which is awesome, just, you know, you love to have that. You're like, hey, I don't need anything from anybody, but I was stuck. So I appreciate your sister for us helping. They'll remember that very
well. Yeah, I'm sure.
And then Chandler, your mom was my very first teacher at Orange High School. She taught me health. And I actually taught next door to her. And I just considered her a dear friend.
Oh, good.
Known your family for a long time.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Well,
I'll have to tell him, say hi for him.
Mom, I said hello.
We'll do.
So you got a t-shirt. I love the bunch of them there. This is one we give to our students of the week that are nominated by our teachers. In this shirt, you got knights on the back as well. We especially like these in American Fork neighborhoods. Wear those. But I'm just kidding. But you have a... If you need another size, please come see me. And I was gonna grab some hats. I didn't bring them because I just didn't know number wise and it'd be short. Stop by the school anytime, just say, hey, I'm here to pick up my hat. I've got one for you guys. And if you want a beanie instead, we'll find one closer. So I just want to say thank you for this support from the city. Just you guys have been great to work with, and it seems like when we need something, graduation. The help and support from our community was fantastic. And I want to keep my comments very positive because while this year's been tough on a lot of areas, there's also been a lot of very good things that have been happening with students. Went to St. George with our student council. I just got a chance to go down for a day and then drove back. But one of the themes, we pick a theme every year, and every year it's been part of our, we've had the Peak Initiative, which our students know that whether they're working towards You know, it's an acronym for tenacious, honorable, empathetic, purposeful, kind. It's the P. And so we try to wrap our theme around this acronym. But this year, our student council was like, hey, we wanted to do something fun. We didn't select this, but I thought it was very creative. They said, welcome to Lone Peak. It's going to be the sickest year yet. Which shows the fun and creativity. And we have to have, there's so much seriousness in the world right now. And it's so fun to work around kids, high school kids, that are literally the next step into adulthood. And whatever they choose to do, whether it's college or service or military or all the things that they do, just appreciate working with them. They didn't pick that theme, which I was happy about, but I liked it. There's a poster in the school just to celebrate it, but they picked Reach the Peak. And so when we're trying to do that, that's really a purpose that we have to be purposeful in our conversation about what we're trying to accomplish. This year, I'm very confident we're going to reach into the 97% of graduation from last year, which is phenomenal when you think of there's only 3% of our students that didn't graduate. With the process we put in place the last few years, we know every single one of those kids. We know their story, where they're at, and what they're doing. And it's not even an ending of those 3%. There's a number, there's a name behind those kids. The name is more important. That even though they didn't graduate, we're giving them resources that they need to get for adult ed or to take the next steps to what they need to do. Because they mean something to us. They're important to us. And this year, our graduation numbers are solid, complete, done. And we've now started for this year, so we're reaching out to every single senior to sit down and reach goals, talk to them about what deficiencies they have for credit, but more importantly, to know them as a person. 2,500 kids, you can see it's impossible, and I'm terrible with names. My four kids, I call them different names all the time. They think it's funny, it's a coping mechanism for me because I forget their names. But I do know when kids have a story, we do know, I mean, there's a lot of kids who build relationships. Support them a little bit. The quarantine stuff, I would love to ask questions, but I know your evening goes late and then I have different things to do, so I'm not happy to answer any questions that you guys have or can do to help support you anymore.
Questions? So, I can't believe it won't be 25 years old. I'm here 21 years ago.
So many other things happening, even the clubs in the school, And so my letter that went out to parents was, and I want to do this in the most sensitive kind of way. I'm a parent too, and I've got a high school age kid, so I get it. I think we really get it. But it was, let's just be sensitive to the needs of what's happening in the community to make sure that we're doing our part. And that wasn't a push to give people directions. And I was very positive the reception we got from parents to say, we totally agree, thank you, we're all doing our part. Because this is ultimately, it's something we're going to do together as a community and as a city, as a state, as a nation. And I just appreciate the leaders in charge making those tough calls. My dad's a city councilman in Orem, so I get what you guys are doing. I hear his sidebars, you know, as he talks through what they're doing in Orem. And I just have total respect for what you do and how you do it. So thank you for leading out and being great leaders in our community.
Thank you. I did see your email, and I thought it was very well stated, and Amber shared it. And as I went through, one of the things that really hit home for me was it feels like over the last several years, especially in this local cluster of Facebook, it's so hard on teaching our kids resilience and how important it is for them to learn it. And if there was ever a time where they can do so, it's this year. It's just a